As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Charles is in Allenhurst, New Jersey. What's up, Charles?
How do these guys, when everyone can see it from home from their TV, that have 70 screens around them in a replay center, still manage to mess up the calls all the time? It's ridiculous.
Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
I'm watching this on my television at home. Like, I can clearly see that it's a fair ball. So the first question that I have is, do these guys have a different view than I'm seeing? Because clearly this is a home run.
Mike is in Flatbush talking about the Aaron Judge incident yesterday. What's up, Mike?
Cody Bellinger said it's the farthest ball that he's ever seen hit.
John is in Bayonne. What's up, Johnny?
The umpire at third base blew that call. Now, if he would have called it fair and Tampa, or they had to challenge it anyway, then it would have never been overruled. Am I right?
I would love to know if I'm Boone or whoever else or Judge, hey, how did you come up with that call? Take me through it. Here's the replay. This is what we saw. You see the trees out there? Here's the foul pole. There's the wall. Okay, just so we're on the same page, everybody. This is me as Boone or Judge talking to the umps. This is the wall. That's the foul pole. What are those over there? Those are trees. They're way in the outfield. But as you can see, based on where the foul pole is, that would be fair territory. So again, I ask you, how is this ball foul? Who came to this conclusion? How? How is that possible? Makes no sense. And the Yankees still have not gotten an explanation. They will, I would assume, at some point today. But, and even, you know, whatever the explanation is, it's not going to justify the wrong. I just don't understand. There is no explanation for it. You have replay. You want to use replay. You want to watch replay, use it to get the calls right. You use it, you see that it should have been a home run, and yet they still did not overturn the call. As Boone said, the audacity to not overturn that call is remarkable, and I couldn't have said it better myself. 888-808-1019, the number to call. We've been talking about that all day, a little bit with the Mets and Phils. Looking forward to that series tonight. BT and I will react to everything tomorrow, of course. Game 2 at the world's most famous arena with the Knicks. I'm more encouraged based on what I've seen from the Knicks, really. I mean, look, it doesn't have to be just game one, but all year long with their talent and their potential, and then in game one to see it come to fruition, even if just for the fourth quarter. Still, I mean, we're now going to nitpick wins. I mean, we're supposed to be discouraged because the Knicks won game one of the playoffs. You want to worry about the Celtics? Fair enough. You want to worry about the Cavs or the Thunder? Understood. But you're going to worry about the Knicks in round one after a win? Oh, were you more discouraged because they won barely and they had to go on that incredible run? No, I'm not. I'm going to give them credit for winning the game, getting behind the crowd, changing the pace of play, the energy, all those different things, coming up with big stops, leading to the offense. I thought Bridges played a solid game. Anunoby was terrific. Towns, Brunson, Hart, campaign, obviously. Knicks had a lot. All of a sudden, now I don't need to see Landry Shamet for 10 minutes, but I'd like to see more Mitchell Robinson myself, but I'm fine with the Knicks. The one guy that worries me from Detroit is Malik Beasley. He's a stud. He's got that it factor that would scare me in a postseason series. But, I mean, come on, what are we talking about? Obviously, the Pistons are pretty good. They're in the postseason. They're going to have some good players. So between Cunningham Beasley, Tobias Harris doesn't worry me. I don't think he's going to keep that going. I fully expect the Knicks to go out there and maybe have, from start to finish, the type of game that's going to make everybody satisfied for game two. It's not good enough to win, but you got to go from start to finish of the game. Before we finish up here on the phones, 888-808-1019, I mentioned this a little bit before with CeeLo when he was in doing the update. I think it was at noon, as it pertains to the Rangers. You know, the Rangers, they're having their, what is it called, goodbye day or whatever, their clear out the locker day. And, you know, to a man, you know, Chris Kreider saying this is where I want to be, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's great. And Shesterkin saying something broke in the middle of the season and we just weren't able to fix it. Yeah, and what generally happens? Like, when we talk about the Knicks and their arc and their timeline, the next move for the Knicks, if they fall short, whether it be in round one or round two or next season, the next move for them is to change the coach. They haven't even done that yet. This is still their building toward being a championship caliber team. We believe they have the talent, but they haven't made that move yet to where they've had to, okay, we have the talent, we haven't maximized our talent, let's change the head coach to see if that works. Well, the Rangers are far beyond that point. They've changed the head coach multiple times, and it hasn't been good enough. There's only one thing left to do. When you change the coach multiple times and it doesn't work and you regress, when you go from winning the President's Trophy to not making the postseason, there's one move left to make, and that is to get rid of the players. And if you can't get rid of the players, I don't know why you would expect anything to change. I'm actually not in favor of firing Drury at this point. I would like to see Chris Drury. Now, I never liked him as a Ranger, and I understand those who want Drury out. I still believe, at my core, I believe Drury, at his core, knows how to build a championship team. Problem is, I don't see a way out of this current mess because he's locked these guys up to a point where he can't move them. That's what happened with Trouba. He knew the right thing to do was to move Jacob Trouba. Trouba didn't want to go. So Drury became the bad guy, and maybe that fractured the locker room beyond repair. Well, how's it going to go when you got to try to get the soft Artemi Panarin out of here? Or Mika Zibanejad, the inconsistent Mika Zibanejad? Or Chris Kreider, same thing. What has happened to Adam Fox? Who's going to make him a good player? Which is why I went back to the Tortorella thing. I was kind of joking before, but one of the reasons why I would consider it is because you know what you're getting with Tortorella. He's going to be a no-nonsense, hard-nosed guy, and he's going to demand these players play hard. And if they don't, maybe they'll be more open to accepting a trade elsewhere because they don't want to play for Torts. And at the very least, it'll accomplish getting some of these contracts out of here who otherwise are stuck. BT and Sal on the fan. Peter is in Lindenhurst. What's up, Peter? What do you want to talk about, the Yanks?
Yes. So I have a way to fix Devin Williams.
Uh-huh.
He's got to shave. Once he shaves, he will revert back to his dominant ways. The baseball gods are upset that he's got the beard going. And once he shaves, he will turn it around.
Interesting. Do you think this has to do with the Yankees' policy? Should the Yankees reverse their policy?
I love the Yankees' policy of the no face hair. I love it.
Oh, so you do want to reverse it. You want to go back to the old ways.
I do. And I think that if he shaves, he'll turn it around, and it'll be good karma, and he will be sailing, and he'll be off.
You know,
and he'll be close.
Sorry, Peter. It is interesting, and thank you for the call. It is interesting that Williams was front and center when that rule change was made about trying to make him comfortable, and you want players to be comfortable and be themselves and have a beard, this and that. And, of course, Williams may be the most prominent Yankee to struggle out of the gate. Whereas if you look at the most disappointing players in this town, expectations versus results, Williams is right there, probably side by side with Juan Soto. The expectations for Soto through the roof. The performance, not so much. Devin Williams' expectations, best closer in the game. Results, not so much. Maybe he should change it up. I mean, you would do that anyway, right? If you were struggling, you'd look to change something up, wear the stirrups higher, maybe go different color socks.